This is a new dimension in sound.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
And welcome back to the Traveling On Radio Show. I'm Ian Fitzpatrick along with Tanya Fitzpatrick, and we're talking to Bertram Van Muster, the executive producer, director, and co-creator of The Amazing Race. Bertram, wanted to ask you about some of the travel tips you can offer to some of the summer travelers in terms of packing, et cetera, and so forth.
Well, in general, you know, I go around the world with just one bag, one little bag, you know, and that's the end of that. And then I have a kind of a business bag with me, with my paperwork and my passport, et cetera, et cetera, that I always carry with me. I don't leave anything in the hotel room. I don't care how safe the safe is. I have my passport with me at all times and always an airline ticket. So I always carry that with me. But, you know, I travel very light and make sure that I have a business suit with me and a lot of casual clothing and good shoes.
Very important tips, especially in this day and age with those rising fuel costs for the airlines, you know, and all of these bag charges. Getting it down to one bag is very important.
I see people carrying suitcases around. I say, what the hell do they have in these suitcases? What can you possibly have in this huge suitcase if you travel from here to London? What do you need? You know, you only need three things or four things. I mean, listen, and everybody says, hey, you have every day you have a brand new white shirt on. No, it's the same shirt I wore the day before yesterday. I just make sure I have it laundered on time.
and that's the key too. So.
Yeah, you got to be on top of your laundry game.
Very important. Now, I wanted to get actually...
And you can buy stuff on the road, too. If you need a T-shirt, you can buy it at any airport.
Yeah, that you can roll up and put in your backpack.
Absolutely.
So, just wanted to kind of circle back to your travels and in the race. Is there, you know, when people ask me what's your favorite country to visit, I usually say, well, the world is my favorite country.
Right.
But is there a place in the world that your show has visited that you would actually personally travel back to for your own leisure time?
Well, there's a couple of places that I like very much. As I mentioned before, I like Chile very much, northern mm-hmm. Chile and southern Chile, and all the way down to Punta Arenas, and then cross over to Ushuaia into Argentina. That's beautiful. And one of the spectacular trips is if you want to drive a car across the Andes, is from Santiago de Chile down in South America, over the Andes Mountains into Mendoza, where the wine, Argentinian wine country is. That's a phenomenally beautiful area. It's a very safe area. People drive safe. Stuff is in good order. The roads are in good shape, and it is just extraordinarily beautiful. The other place I like very much to go to is Sicily. Sicily is also a very, very beautiful place with very nice people. And whatever they do down there, stay out of it, because I'm sure it's going on. But it is a beautiful place. I could recommend it to anybody. It's still one of those, for me, it's one of these undiscovered places. I like India. I like southern India, the Kerala province, Cochin. The settlers were there, you know, in the 1600s, 1700s, you know, on their trips around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful place, safe place also. I think Moscow, St. Petersburg is fantastic.
Oh, I agree with
Moscow
that.
Moscow is a phenomenal city now. It's booming and it's fun and it's great restaurants. And yes, it's tied to the euro in many ways and it's kind of expensive, but you know, it's definitely worth a fun trip and people are wonderful there. I think it's one of the few countries where people still bring you to the airport and they cry when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Japan is great.
Mm-hmm.
Alaska is fantastic. You know, America itself has a lot to offer also. But Central America, I'm not so sure about at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit for Costa Rica and Panama.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest, I don't feel it's not really safe, you know. Africa, there's a couple of places left where you can safely go to. And Morocco is, of course, fantastic. Namibia is a beautiful place.
Mm.
Botswana is gorgeous. And Tanzania in the East Coast, in East Africa is a beautiful place and very safe with wonderful people.
So essentially, there's you're like me. Every country is a country that you you'd go for your own leisure time, pretty much.
Well, I would if I had the time.
That's always the issue, finding the time. Bert, I wanted to ask you, one of the great things about the show and one of the things that that we've come to admire is the sensitivity to local culture. But that culture and the teams often sometimes clash and come into conflict. And I often wonder, do you really look at situations, I guess, to kind of reveal character, whether it's good or bad, or do you look at putting the challenges in and the roadblocks there in order to see how people respond? What's kind of the thinking?
It's a little bit of everything. You know, there's a humorous aspect to it. And also sometimes it is not so humorous. I mean, people reveal themselves in ways that can be ugly. But I see it almost like as a defense mechanism, a very primitive defense mechanism. You know, criticizing other people, you know, makes you feel better about yourself, maybe for about 4 minutes. There's a lot of that going on. But overall, you know, it's... I mean, a lot of these contestants are absolutely fearless doing these challenges and diving into these foreign cultures. But the idea is really that they have to deal with it and that they have some, and that they have to become part of that culture for that moment or for a couple of hours or for a day. You know, we shot a show in Burkina Faso, in the Sahel area of the Sahara. And we had a train. I knew there was a train that goes once a day. It goes from a city called Ouagadougou, which most people can't pronounce, to another city called Bobo Dioulasso, near the border of the Northern Ivory Coast. And that train goes through absolutely nowhere. And I had them get on that train, and then that train stops in, because I had that experience myself many years ago, the train stops in the middle of nowhere, and then one person gets off in the middle of nowhere and starts hiking into wherever they're hiking to, and that's where they live. So I wanted to have that same experience, really off the wall, and the train stops, they gotta get off the train, and they gotta find these camel traders. So I like to really create something where they feel that they're part of this community, and it's a completely alien atmosphere for them.
Bert, is there a season or particularly a team that, you know, in listening to you describe what you try to bring out in some of these teams and the experiences, is there a season or a team that really stands out in your mind?
In what sense?
And, you know, favorite team, favorite season.
Look, here's the thing, and this is a question, this is a very good question, but the thing is, we put an enormous amount of time and effort into finding all these contestants, and by now we have close to 300 contestants had on the show. And every individual, we are so careful, they're so carefully handpicked that, you know, we have a relationship with every one of them, and we like them actually all very much. And when somebody gets eliminated, I feel actually very sorry, because we put a lot of time and effort into this. We like these people. We think they could bring a lot to the show, and then they get eliminated, and it's bye-bye. So I must say that I would say the majority of the people I really liked very, very much, and they were very brave, and they were very good in doing it, and had an incredible stamina in most cases. Just really very impressive. But, you know... So yeah, no. It sounds a little flat, but
no,
I mean, say they're all my favorites.
Well, as any good parent would say,
you
know, we actually had the pleasure of meeting two of last season's contestants. One who actually lives in D.C., Christina, who was part of the second place team, and Azaria, who was with his sister, who is in New Orleans, and you know, very, very delightful people.
Yeah, they are.
And that was actually, you know, we have our favorites that we pick every season, but because we, you know, met Christina and spent some time with her, we were rooting for her, and so I was hoping for a good surprise.
Yeah, no, they were phenomenal people.
Yes.
But, in terms of, you wanted to talk about the travel a little bit, and the jet travel around the globe, how this is going nowadays. You know, it is, generally, it is actually not that complicated. I mean, the airlines have figured out a way of going around the world in a very smooth fashion. And there's plenty of connections. The service overall outside the United States is phenomenal. I mean, there's some really, really good, reliable airlines out there. And I have my favorites, but I mean overall it's pretty good. And then, you know, in certain countries you have airlines that they buy up airplanes. This is interesting to know. Somebody told me this recently. I said, where did they get this airplane? They said, this airline buys planes that have only 3 years life left.
Oh.
And they fly the hell out of these things and then they park them. And he says, over there, all those planes over there, they're already done. I said, how many more days on the flight plane I'm sitting on? He said, they could park the thing right now. You don't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I know Ian, being the airline guru in the family, can
yeah, I would definitely say any plane like that is not a plane that's going to find me as a passenger on board. No way, no how. But, Bertram, I want to ask you about the show.
I was sitting very uncomfortably at 33,000 feet, believe me.
I am sure, you know.
Flying around 48,000 feet cumulus cloud.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
Have you flown in a plane? I was in a plane a few years ago that really scared the heck out of me, and thankfully I had a gin and tonic before I got on board. But the seats actually folded forward, and you had to pull the seats up like a folding chair to sit down.
Well, we had a seat one on the airline flying to on the African continent that my seat went flat straight down on the lap of the person behind me, and the person behind me, his seat wouldn't move at all.
Oh dear!
mine actually went folded back almost to the floor. So you know,
yeah.
It takes all kinds.
Bertram, I want to ask you about the show and just knowing in your heart when you felt like you had a winning show, a winning formula with The Amazing Race. When
right.
did that kind of say, we've got it?
Well, I knew it because, you know, prior to that, I had done a lot of international production. I had set up satellite offices around the world for international production. So I knew I had the structure in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I had the contacts. I knew I had the government contracts to give us permits. I knew I had the logistical contacts worldwide. And so I felt safe doing it. And when I spoke to CBS, and they also said to me, you are the guy that can pull this off. There's no question about it. You know what you're talking about. I'm sure there have been very similar ideas floating around over the years, but people were just reluctant to make that kind of an investment because they weren't sure that people could actually pull it off.
Mm.
So.
And you know, for the aspiring racer, I know, you know, you throughout the year audition people for upcoming seasons. What are there any tips you can offer for the aspiring racer on
Absolutely.
The show?
Absolutely. You have to be somewhere between 21 and 100 years old. And a decent, you only have to be in good physical and mental condition, and you can win this race. You can win $1 million. And we have proven this over and over again. I mean, anybody can win this race.
Hmm.
It's laid out that way. You don't have to be a huge muscle man. Sometimes it helps.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you need to just be, you can be just an average person that has a logical mind and is in good, decent physical condition. And you can win this thing.
Have you seen people change throughout the course of the race and throughout their experiences and, you know, the different cultures being exposed to different
Absolutely.
Cultures?
Absolutely. I mean, we always tell them, you know, this is a life-changing experience, and most people will agree with me. It's a life-changing experience. You look at the world very different when you come back from a trip like this. You will also look at yourself differently.
Mm-hmm.
People have always been super, super enthusiastic. We had only one team once that said, oh, my God, we have to stay here in Paris. That's horrible. That's just awful.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well.
I was kind of taken back by that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit gobsmacked right now. I mean, I wasn't expecting that. How has the show shaped your view of the world?
Well, over the last 8-9 years, you know, and the show started airing just before 9/11, and I thought that would be the end of the end of the franchise. But you know, it is as long as you have respect, you respect other people and other cultures and everything. There's no trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I go anywhere in the world, anytime. I'm absolutely not afraid for anything. You know, there's some places you got, you know, if you're obvious, if you're dumb, yeah, you can get kidnapped. Yeah, it's possible. You got to be really dumb. mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Or you have to be have such a high profile that you obviously have to be careful. But overall, you can travel anywhere safely in the world, except for a couple of spots, you know, that you don't want to go to.
Right.
That the United States government would advise you not to go to, and I would follow that advice mm-hmm. by all means. But I feel safe. I feel fine. No problem. Shake hands with everybody. I got permits all over the world. People are friendly to me. No hassle whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we were talking earlier, you mentioned, you know, a lot of your favorite, and I say that with tongue in cheek, places, but there are places that I know have wonderful culinary delights. And a little birdie told me that because of your extensive travels, you know all the best places to eat in any given destination. And that's, you know, that's a key for me.
I am very careful what I eat, because you have one wrong bite on the street corner and you're going to be sick for weeks to come.
Mm.
So I don't eat on the street. That's number one. But I, for instance, in India, I eat only vegetarian food. Only vegetarian. I don't touch anything else that's not vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delicious. I've been going to India for a long, long time, many, many, many years. I've never had trouble in India. In certain countries, you only eat breakfast. You know, you eat your fried eggs and some potatoes, and that's it, and you live off that for the rest of the day. It's useless to go to certain restaurants. I was in a restaurant in somewhere in Africa, and I said to the guy, I said, let me ask you a question. Is this a good thing if I take this? He says to me, in fact, not very good. I said, what about the next thing? In fact, not very good. He went down the list and told me at least 20 things that were on the menu. They said, in fact, not very good. And I said, what about the fried eggs over there? He says, this is okay.
Okay.
Yeah? He was a very honest man.
It's good you had a guide there to help you out.
He was very kind, and he was the restaurant owner. So he I mean, that kind of honesty is much appreciated.
Yep.
But, you know, yeah, of course, in South America, you can eat phenomenal, great, in Argentina, great meat, when I go to the Ukraine, I'm not exactly eating these huge cauliflowers. I don't know there's some place you just don't know where the food is coming from. So you gotta be very careful. Who knows what meadow, what they sprayed on it, or what they did on it.
Yeah.
I'm very, very careful in certain countries that I eat. No fruit, no vegetables. I stay away from it on purpose. I certainly don't eat sausage, but you can eat bananas everywhere. You can eat eggs, boiled eggs. You can that kind of stuff. You know, if you want to be careful. I am very careful with what I eat. I'm very calculating what I eat.
Well, we may have to just travel with you then to help, you know, protect us against ourselves. When is season 13 starting? When will we have Amazing Race again?
The date has not been released yet by CBS, but I would certainly imagine it's in the fall.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I read somewhere that you really sleep in the air and generally not in hotels because you're traveling all the time. And,
yeah, I don't want to waste any time. So what I do is I go, before the wheels come off the ground, I'm already sound asleep.
Bless
and I fly exclusively at night. So during the day when I get to my destination, I'm working. You see, I'm a total workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. So when I land, then I take a shower and then I have my meetings and my business all day long, and at night I fly to the next place.
Well, I appreciate you joining us today. I know that you just returned, you know, from a whirlwind trip, and you're trying to acclimate to your time zone again. And, you know, with all the shows you're running and doing, and, you know, to spend this time with us is greatly appreciated. And to share the travel knowledge,
you.
Which is vast, is wonderful. And you do have an open invitation anytime
you
come back on our show. And, you know, we'll be watching for you in the fall sometime. And we just appreciate your time, Bird. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, Ian.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There's more of the Travelin' On Radio Show ahead on TalkZone.com.